God, I won't ask you to bless it because it's already blessed. But God, I ask that you'd bless each person. Lord, open up their understanding right now in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. We are having service this afternoon, this evening. It is at 5:30. We are back on our normal service schedule. We hope to see you in service with us this evening at 5:30. I'm going to be preaching a wonderful message that we all need to hear. Go with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to begin to look at verse 6. I read this verse on Monday evening with my children after we had delivered the senior meals to everyone. Parish Christian Center serves 228 meals to local elderly in our community, and to God be all of the credit and the glory for that. That is something that you don't see in a lot of places, because that takes commitment, it takes devotion, it takes favor. It takes so many things to do that. I thank God that He's doing that through us. Let us always be in the position to be a blessing. Amen. And I gathered my children around. We have a devotional that we read. I have two sons, Carson and Colton. And as we begin to read this, the words of this verse just pierced right through my heart. I've been in ministry my whole life. Parish Christian Center was founded in 1987. We are an interdenominational ministry, and what that means is that all faiths are welcome. You will never catch me up here preaching any type of different denomination to you, because can I keep this very real? I don't care what denomination you are, because what I care about more than that is if you're saved and on your way to heaven. Amen. That's really what's the most important thing. And so I gathered the kiddos around and we began to read this, and this hit me different this year. And it says here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born." For to us. You could even sum that down and you could say, for to me. For to me. In a world where everybody takes everything personal, I pray that this year for Christmas, you can take what Jesus Christ did for you and you can take it personal. People are so touchy-feely that you can't say anything on Facebook. If somebody posts something on Facebook, somebody else that reads it, they got a guilty conscience, and they'll say, oh, well, this person posted that just for my sake. See, we got a bunch of pettiness going on in today's society, a bunch of typewriter warriors, where people are afraid to say things to someone's face, but they'll certainly type it out. And in a world where everything and everybody takes everything personal, I ask that you would take what Jesus did for you personally. Personally. The Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And what that means is salvation is something that has to be worked out. You're not going to wake up every single morning and feel saved. How many of you wake up every single morning and you just feel like a holy roller? I don't. Glory to God. Amen. I have learned, Moni, that when the pastor can keep it real and be honest, the people in the pew are going to have a lot easier time to do that. I don't wake up every single morning and feel saved, Angel. I know that I'm saved, but see, we all have these little feelings, and our feelings get us in trouble most of the time. And I encourage you not to live off of and make decisions off of how you feel, because your feelings will get you in trouble every time. When you make decisions out of emotion and feeling, those decisions will probably be bad decisions. Nope. The anointing will just knock the point set as it plumb smooth over. They're going to all be laid out in the Spirit by the time I'm done this morning. So take it personal. The Word of God says, for to us, each one of you, a child is born. What does that actually mean for you? Somebody was born on this earth specifically for you. The birth of someone was for you. The Son of God had a mission, and he came down here to make a way, because there was never going to be a way unless he did that. And when you're scrolling Facebook and somebody says something and you think it was for you and they're being a jerk, when you go in Walmart and somebody doesn't smile at you just the right way, when you come into church and something doesn't tickle your fancy and you take all of those things personal, I dare you to take God for his word. I dare you to take God for everything that he is. And I dare you to take what his Son did for you personally, because it will change your life. When you realize that the Creator stopped what he was doing and said, "Hey, Jesus, these people need a Savior. If there was any other way, I would do that. But see, there's not. You're going to have to go down there and you're going to have to dwell among them. You're going to have to become the sin." He didn't just take sin, he became it. That's a whole nother thing. When you think about all the things in our lifetime that we do, all the shameful things, he took the shame. He took the shame. See, somebody needs to hear that in here this morning. He took the shame. I don't know who that is. I don't know what you think that you've done that you can't be let off of the hook, but I'm going to say it one more time. He took the shame that you're carrying. He took it. So if you've still got it, you're carrying that unnecessarily, because Jesus Christ loves you. He's not counting what you've done against you. He's giving you a clean slate. He said, "I'm going to remember your sins no more. For my own sake, I'm going to blot them out." I ask you to take it personal this morning. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. A son is given. How many of you have a son in this room? I don't have any girls, but I've got two sons. And I wouldn't trade them for anything. And I certainly would not give them up for a bunch of ungrateful people. I will keep this real. I will keep it real. Because all through your week, God's going to remind you of certain parts of this message, and it's going to be your job to live out the sermon. I will keep this real. For to us, a child is born, and to us, a son is given. See, in a world where you feel like everything has been taken from you, you need to understand that because the love that God has for you, he gave the only thing that would ever make you right. Because God himself loved you so much, he gave the only thing that could ever make you right. In a world where you feel like everything has been stripped from you, everything has been taken from you, your dignity, your finances, your health, your family. See, I get where you're living at today, because I've lived a part of that myself. In a world where you feel like, "Hey, you know what, God, everything's been taken from me. Why? We want to ask God why. Let me explain something to you. Because God loved you so much, he gave to you. He gave to you. You cannot afford to shrivel up and to do nothing with the rest of your life. You can't afford to give up. You've got to stand back up and say, "You know what? If God is for me, then who could be against me?" You cannot look at yourself as somebody that's always down and out. Because if you do that, you're going to always be down and out. A lot of what happens in life is going to be determined by how you look at it. If you say nothing's going to ever get any better, guess what? It's not getting better. Praise God. To us, a son is given. The love that God has for us made God be a giver. A giver. Go with me to John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The title of this message is, It's All in a Name. Saints and sinners know this verse. Atheists know this verse. We can try to take Jesus out of every single thing, and at the end of the day, that's never going to happen. The Word of God says, you know what? Write about me on the tablet of your heart. When you sit at home with your children, tell them about me. Teach them about what I have for them. For God so loved the world that He gave. And once again, we see that the love of God caused God Himself, God the Father, to be a giver. Gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In a world where you get all touchy-feely because something ain't going your way, and isn't it funny how when we get in the trial of our faith, we're always like, oh, this is going to be the thing that just does me in. Oh, this is going to destroy me. We'll never get to be the same again. Away with that. You're going to go through things your whole life. And God's going to get you through them every single time. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. When you get in those places in your life where you feel like this is the thing that's taken me down. Maybe the doctors have told you that you've got to die. Look here, you serve the great physician at the end of the day. I was in the medical field for 15 years. I've got respect for medical field workers, for doctors. But what I can tell you is they don't have the last say. God has the last say. God has the last say. That we wouldn't perish. See, when you get in a problem in your life, in your job, and you think, oh, this is going to do me in. Look here. You don't have to perish with all of the problems that you face. What does it take to keep you on the up and up? Belief. Belief. Do you really believe that God is exactly who He says that He is? If you're somebody that every time something happens, you don't even know if you believe in God or not, you're going to have to actually get saved. Now, that's some hard preaching. But that's real preaching. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 is very important for you. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Do you know how many believers feel bad about themselves and things that they've done? And they feel condemned, and it doesn't matter what they do, they always feel condemned. Doesn't matter how many good deeds, doesn't matter, no matter what changes they make in their life, there's a condemnation, it just rests on them. See, God did not send His Son for condemnation, to condemn you, to be mean to you. You say, well, Pastor Kelly, you don't know what I've done. Look here, I don't have to know what you've done. That's between you and Jesus. And He is your high priest. I want to talk to that person this morning where you feel bad about some of the things that you've done. And you say, you know what? God can forgive all these people, but He can't forgive me. He can't forgive what I've done. Look here. God forgives you. God forgives you. Does God really have the ability to give you a clean slate? Yes, He does. Does God still forgive? Yes, He does. Does God still do miracles? Yes, He does. Does God still heal people? Yes, He does. Does God still provide for His children? Yes, He does. I encourage you to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. And know this, every time that you feel like you've done that, the devil's going to bring it back up. And at some point, you're going to have to tell the devil, we're not discussing this anymore. God would like somebody in here this morning to just go on and live a good, happy, wholesome life. And your guilt and your shame's holding you back. So I speak this verse over your life. God, in Jesus' name, we know that you didn't come here to condemn the world. Right now, God, you did not come here to condemn us. What did he come to do? He came to save the world through Jesus. He came to save you. I used to think that this was a one-time, one-ticket verse. It's not. It's an everyday verse. I wish I could tell you that when you hit your knees and you ask Christ to come into your life, that that's the only saving you'd ever need in your life, but that's just the beginning. You're going to need saved every day. God's going to save you from yourself and some of your decisions many, many times. But he did not give his son for you to still be sitting there thinking bad about what's gone on in your life that you cannot change. I'm going to say that one more time. There are things that have gone on in your life that you cannot change them. You can't change them. And those are the very things that the devil will use in your life and in your mind and in your emotions to begin the sifting process. And he will bring those things back up to you over and over and over. And when he does that, you need to first of all stop conversating with him because he's telling you nothing but lies. But you need to remind him of this verse where it says that he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he did come into the world to save us. Jesus saved you from your shame, and he saved you from your guilt, and he saved you from the decisions that you're so ashamed of. What do we do? Receive it. Receive it. Receive the forgiveness and receive a clean slate. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6. We're talking about just how powerful the name of Jesus is this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. And then it goes into four names. The first name, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Thank God for that. How many of you have ever had a moment? Man, I've had several. I have them every week, Gail. I'll go through something, and my thoughts will get real squirrely and real nutty, and I'll think, oh, my gosh, I don't think this is quite normal. I've thought, I may need to see a counselor about this. This probably isn't a great thing to think. Now I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I am in no way, shape or form against counseling. I will keep it very real with you. I have had counseling myself. I've had some seasons of life where I could not even get up off of the couch because the depression was so strong because I decided to just lay down and let it wash over me instead of just get up and stand up. See, there's days where you say, what if I get off the couch and I can't do anything other than just stand? Well, baby, that's all that you need to do because God said in his word that if when you've done everything that you can do to stand, then just stand. See, there's days that you're going to have maybe that's all you can do. And I get that and I feel that on every level. Why? Because I've been there. Maybe getting off the couch is the only thing that you can do that day. Get up and raise your hands. God, saturate me with your presence. I've sat on those couches. The problem with me going to counseling is most of the time I end up counseling them. Going to another counselor. I just had to pay you to give you advice. What the heck? But I love this in his word. Wonderful counselor. If you need counseling, I am not against that. I am for that. Go sit on that couch and tell them your problems. But here's what I'm not for. If you are a blood-bought saint of the living God, you owe it to God and you owe it to yourself to at least sit on his couch and tell him your problems first. Because I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, when everything, all the chips have fallen, God is the only one that can do a darn thing about what you're going through. There's problems that we have that there is not a person on the planet that can fix them type of problems. And so you can sit on the couch and cry about all your nonsense. But at the end of the day, I encourage you to get on Daddy God's couch, which is his lap, and get right up to him and just tell him all your problems and tell him what you're going through. Because I promise you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he is the most wonderful counselor that you will ever, ever have. He has the best advice. He has the most immense power over us. Why? Because the word of God says that, Lord, even as I sleep, your word, your advice, you counsel my heart even as I'm sleeping. Amen. You ever went to bed and you didn't know how you was going to work out a problem, and by the time you woke up that morning, you had it in your mind what you needed to do? That didn't just happen by accident. That was the Holy Spirit putting that in you. Jesus, he is the most wonderful counselor. I'm going to keep this so dang real with y'all. You'll think I'm crazy, but at least you're going to remember the message. You know, a lot of messages that pastors preach, people go out there, they don't even remember them because they were boring and just full of stuff that's going to keep you coming back. Man, if I offend you in one of my services, guess what? You're going to at least remember it. I offend people just by being a woman pastor, for goodness sakes. Amen. This skin is getting like alligator skin. It's real thick. And I'm going to get me some alligator boots, and that's probably going to be offensive too. Don't worry, I won't buy the real ones. I'll buy the generics. Didn't that feel good? Didn't that feel good to laugh? Wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. I was sitting on a counselor's couch one time, and I told her something. I think she was a nut. I don't know what they were doing, letting her counsel people like me, but it was a bad idea. I told her something, Rocky, she got madder than a hornet. And she goes, "What?" I said, "Look, you don't get to do this here. I'm the patient, okay?" She had to get a hold of herself. And I thought, I done broke the shrink. I got to go to Jesus next time and just tell him this stuff straight up, because that poor girl, she's never going to be the same. But in all seriousness, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Mighty God. I don't care how big your problem is. I don't care what the doctors have told you. I don't care what the bankers told you. Look here, at the end of the day, you've got to know that you serve a mighty, mighty God who is willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or even imagine. See, you serve that God, and He is a mighty, mighty God. You need to stop sitting there trying to qualify whether or not God can do something for you, and just know that He's willing and that He's able. God is willing and He's able. You serve a mighty God, and you do not have to have the answer for all of your problems. And sometimes we get so worked up because we don't have the answer. We give you some beauty in life. You don't have to. You'll spend a lot of your time and energy just worried because you don't have the answer. You don't have to have it. God has it. He's always had it. Before you ever had the problem, He had it. Before you were ever born, He knew you were going to have that problem, and He already had the solution. He's got you. He's got you. Can you take what He did for you personally this Christmas? I know that some of you are going through some very hard things. I know that you've got some brokenness inside of you. I know that there's grief inside of you. I know that some of the marriages are on the rocks. See, I know all these things. If your pastor knows them, how much more do you think God knows them? God knows everything that's going on with you. Will you take what He did for you personal? Will you take what He did personal? If you will, you can begin to call Him these names when you don't know what decisions to make. God, I thank You because You are the most wonderful counselor. God, I'm going to go on and I'm going to have a good day because You're going to counsel me on this matter. Lord, I don't know how the problem is going to work out, but God, You're still a mighty God. Amen. Let's read some more. There's two more things that just in this passage it says that He is. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Jesus is lasting longer than every person that's the most loyal to you. I've lived this verse out. He is the everlasting Father. When everybody leaves you, when you feel alone, you can stand on this verse, and you can also stand on the verse that says, He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. See, when you feel like you've been forsaken, you need to understand that that's just the devil putting that in your mind, because he's never going to leave you. He's never rejecting you. Everybody else in your life, they may, but God never will. He never will. Everlasting Father. See, some of you have had a bad earthly father experience. Let Him be a dad to you. Let Him be a dad to you. What is some things that a daddy does? Well, they protect you. They care for you. They watch over you. They provide for you. Let Him be that to you. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Praise God for His peace. Prince of Peace. You need to speak these four names of Jesus over your life every single day. When you're stressed out in these holiday seasons, look here. God, I thank You. I serve the Prince of Peace. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but God, You're the Prince of Peace. Lord, You're still mighty. God, You're still the best counselor that I know. God, You're the everlasting Father. See, these are things that you should be speaking over your life. It's not enough for me to just sit here and preach to you for 45 minutes. That's not going to cut it for you. And that's not getting you into heaven. You know, there's churches all over the world and they're stuffed full of people and they got the best light shows. They got the best concerts. They got the best of everything. And guess what? You can do all of that and still go straight to hell. You got to believe in Him. Give your life over to Him. Work out your salvation with Him and know who He is. Know who He is. Why? Because there's most days you don't even know who you are. Yep, there's a lot of days you don't even know who you are. How many of you understand that your little mood swings? You got some mood swings. For those of you that your hands down, you're lying. If there's one thing I know about humanity is everybody's moody. You just got to hit that right nerve. Go with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation. What is salvation? The act of being saved. Are you saved in here this morning? Are you saved in here this morning? There is no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. In a world where people try to stuff everything in His place in your heart, they'll never be able to do it. There's that place inside of each person that has breath and that's ever had breath, that's ever lived, where only God could fit. And we try to stuff everything in there. And we try to make it acceptable. And look here, nothing in God's spot will ever be acceptable. Nothing in His place. There's a name above every single name. Every one of your problems has a name. Go with me to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. John chapter 14. Verse 13 and 14. And I'm going to give you some pointers. I'm not here to criticize you, but I am here to teach you. And that is my job. One of my jobs is to give you the knowledge and the wisdom and the information and the scripture to back it up, to make sure that you are praying your most effective prayers. How many of you would like to have your next 10 prayers answered? Amen. John chapter 14, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. In my name. In my name. See, there's things that you're going to ask Daddy God for, and He's the only one that could ever do them. Your mama can't help you with them, your spouse, your kids, nobody. See, there's things in your life that's going wrong, and there's some things needing to be worked out. The only one that can do anything about them is Jesus Christ. Reserve all those tears and all those conversations for Him. Everything else is a waste of breath. See, you can sit there and bawl and squall to everybody that's going to come on board with how that you want them to see the situation, but at the end of the day, what you need is one moment of God's presence in that problem, and the problem's going to be solved. But we rely too much on what other people think and how they think that we should be doing. You need to be concerned with what Jesus thinks and forget about everybody else, because look here, they ain't got their self figured out either. How on earth can they help you figure yourself out? Bless you, you cute little girl. It's the cutest sneeze I've heard in a long time. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is going to probably tick half of the congregation off. You're going to have to get over it. Here's the type of prayers that don't work. Oh, man upstairs. Oh, big guy upstairs. Will you please do? No. If you're going to waste breath on that, you just, I don't know, eat another Little Debbie snack cake. I don't know. But that ain't going to work for you. Been eating too many of them. I love them. If you pray, you need to address who you're praying to. Who is that? Jesus. God. If you're going to talk to somebody or pray to somebody, why don't you speak their name? Because, see, that's what the Word of God tells you to do. Lord, in Jesus' name, fill in the blank. Teach your children how to pray. Teach your grandchildren how to pray. Teach them to look at people in the eye and tell them yes or no. Somebody said, I'm going to give you whatever you... If I said, Michelle, I'm going to give you whatever you ask for, but you're going to have to address me by my name, which is Kelly. You would do that, right? Y'all get all your fingernails done with Michelle. God is the same way. When you pray, this gives you a way. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I hear this all the time. And I'm not getting on to you if you pray these type of prayers, but I am trying to teach you how to pray more effective prayers. If all your prayers end in your name, amen, you can do better. I'm going to say that one more time. If all your prayers are ending in your name, you can do better. You can pray a more effective prayer than that. And I'm showing you the verse and the place right where it is. Because you know what, Angel? Everybody's taking something out of context now. Well, in whose name? Buddha? No, that little fat thing can't do nothing about our problems. Amen? Let's keep that real. That just offended the other half of the congregation. There we go. Got y'all. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I know you can do it. I ask you to do it. And God, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, Lord. I thank you that you're handling it. In Jesus' name. And you seal that prayer with his name. Amen. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. And this is talking about Jesus. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore, or because of that, God exalted him to the highest place. What got Jesus to the highest place? His obedience. He became obedient even to death. Even for the very reason he was born and came down and dwelt among us. And because of that, God the Father exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every single name. See, cancer cannot hold up to the name of Jesus. Depression cannot hold up to the name of Jesus. Anxiety cannot hold up to the name of Jesus. Divorce cannot hold up to the name of Jesus. Iniquity, infirmity cannot hold up to the name of Jesus. Bankruptcy cannot. See, what is it that you think can separate you from Jesus Christ? Because you will never find anything. God gave him the name above every single name. Everything that you are going through, every problem that you face, it has a name. And if you are going to pray and you're going to specify and you're going to call Jesus out and you're going to seal those prayers with his name, you need to be as specific about your prayer that you can. I say this all the time, and y'all think it's a joke, but I am dead serious. Don't just pray for a husband or a wife. That's what you'll get, any old one. And if eating nice things and going out and having a roof over your head and all of those things are important, well, by golly, you best pray for somebody that wants to work. Amen. Right? Amen. We don't want her marrying a deadbeat, do we? No, we don't. We want her to marry a millionaire, a dentist, a doctor, somebody that's going to be productive in society and make all of us proud, right? Well, pray those prayers. I hope you're getting all this. It's my niece's boyfriend. I'm trying real hard to scare him or convert him. I'm not sure which. Every problem that you have, it has a name. Don't just say, oh, I'm just sad today. No, if you're struggling with depression, you need to call that depression out. Depression in Jesus' name. You have to go. Anxiety in Jesus' name. You also have to go. Healing in Jesus' name. I receive you right now. See, some of you have got reports from the doctors that you don't like. You know what you need to do? You need to go to the resource office of that medical facility. You need to ask for your medical records, get you a copy of them, put them on your table, and begin to plead the blood of Jesus over those diagnoses that you don't like. And seal that with Jesus. Pray over that. If you're going to worry about it, you at least owe it to yourself and God to pray about it also. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What does that mean? Every demon in hell needs to hear you pray in these prayers. Every demon in hell and every angel in heaven and everybody in between. It's all in a name. And I've given you the names of Jesus today. Speak them over your life, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord over your life. He's Lord over the earth. He's Lord over your problem. He's Lord over your health. He's Lord over your finances. He should be Lord over your family. Lord over everything. Will you make Christmas personal this year? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that was prophesying what he was called. Will you let him be that to you? We are going to take Holy Communion. I'm going to ask you, make an altar where you're at. Why do we do this? Because, see, there's a right way to take communion and a wrong way. You need to examine your life. You need to examine your heart. If there's sin in